You're listening to a message from New Life Foursquare Church in Canby, Oregon. We pray that this message will be an encouragement to you. Visit canbyfoursquare.com to learn more.
Thank you, James. You are awesome. It's just great to be with you. I think you are the soldiers because you made it out even though there was snow. And this is my first time to see snow here. I was here last year, and there wasn't any snow last year. So this is really fun. Michael was awed this morning. It was still dark, and he was out messing around. It was fun. It's really fun. A little while back, Matthew and I, my older son, went to Coquiel area. He wanted to stay a few days with friends, and I wanted to drop him off. And so we had a fun drive. Matthew's the one that looks taller. That's probably a camera misconception, a perspective. You know, you dads understand these things. Yeah, no, he's actually, I don't understand that picture. And so we are on our way, and one of the subjects that comes up is which of the five senses would be the worst to not have? And so it's fun traveling with an intellectual, and so we talk about it. First, we talk about eyesight, that would be terrible to be without eyesight, to not be able to see people and their expressions, to not be able to see a wall and run into it, to see a step and fall down. And we thought not having eyes is terrible, but then not having touch would be very severe. You couldn't tell if there was pain. You couldn't tell if you had you were burning. So we thought touch was really important. And then it came to hearing. And we thought, if you couldn't hear, you wouldn't be able to have relationships very well. Because relationships happen by hearing. And you wouldn't be able to know what they're saying. You wouldn't be able to get to know them. You wouldn't be able to understand what was going on. And we actually settled with hearing being the most valued of the five senses. And we thought about that, and I went on to think that that's true in our relationship with God as well. If we don't hear from Him often in the many different ways that He speaks to us, whether through the Bible or experiences or another person or just within ourselves, some of the different ways that He speaks. When we don't hear from Him, we don't get to know Him. We don't know what He's like, what He's thinking, what He wants us to do, how we're to respond to the difficult situations we experience. And as I think about this, it reminds me of how valuable the Bible is. And as we plow into the new year, we want to make sure that the Bible is important, valued, an authority in our lives as we dive in. You know, ISIS over in Iraq and Syria, ISIS, the Islamic State of Iraq and Syria, waging war there, have begun a genocide of Christians, wanting to kill them all off. And they've actually made a law. ISIS has a law that says if you get caught reading the Bible, you will be executed. And it reminds us that followers of Jesus value the Bible. That's an identity. That's a mark. It's a mark of followers of Jesus. And of course, the Bible has been important all through church history, and those who have valued it have often taken hits. For example, John Wycliffe was the first to begin to translate the Bible from Latin into English. He was condemned a heretic for taking it from the holy language, God's language, into the common language of the people. And there was an order that all of his works were to be burnt. Then a century later, William Tyndale came along, and he also was condemned as a heretic as he worked to translate the Bible from the Greek and Hebrew. And the result was that he was executed by strangulation and then burnt at the stake. The Bible has great value for us as followers of Jesus. It's the primary way that we hear him speak. And by the way, a fundamental understanding underneath that is that God is a communicating God. There's talk of the Force, but the Force doesn't communicate. It just kind of blobs around. And maybe you connect to it and maybe you don't. But God is a communicating God, and he wants to communicate with us. He wants to communicate with us more. I think of Happy New Year. Okay, the new year I've got. I'm starting to write 2016. But the happy part, how's that going to happen? What's that going to look like? For me, it's in the core. It's hearing God better, listening to him, and doing what he says. And isn't it true that God is the communicator? The problem is with the listener. I want to listen better. I want to hear better. I appreciate what Bob Goff has said. He's the author of Love Does. Let grace blow your hair back this year like your head's been sticking out the car window. Let God get hold of you this year and his love like never before. And I've learned that if we're going to hear God speak to us, it's going to happen as we dig into the Bible and spend time in prayer on a daily basis. And I want to invite you to turn in your Bibles with me to Luke chapter 9. Would you do that, Luke chapter 9? You've got Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, there in the beginning of your Bibles. And it's Matthew, Mark, and then Luke. Luke chapter 9. And if you don't have a Bible, there's some there in the chairs. And if you don't have one at all, take it with you. And we'll have it here on the screen as well. But we want to, I love it when you get to underline some of these key passages, especially passages that the Spirit brings alive to you and speaks to you. You want to underline those, put a little star by them, some way where you can see that there's an important thing happening there for you personally. Now, in this chapter, Peter has confirmed or stated that Jesus is the Messiah. And Jesus has agreed, yes, I am the Christ. And then he goes on to say that his followers, like him, are going to face suffering. He explains that he's going to suffer and die and then be raised back to life. And then he goes on to talk about the disciples, and this happens in verse 23. If anyone wants to become my follower, wants to connect with God, wants to make a difference in the world, if anyone wants to become my follower, he must deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. This is not a small thing. To deny ourselves is necessary because there's so many things that long for our attention, so many idols, so many distractions. We're going to have to deny our self-desires if we're going to get hold of God, if we're going to follow God. And then it says, take up your cross daily. We're pretty soft here in the United States, but people in Syria and Iraq understand this passage because they know that daily, if they're going to follow Jesus, it might cost them their lives. And then the word daily, daily. It's got to happen daily. Would you tell the person next to you, it's got to happen daily. Go ahead. Yeah. This is not some occasional thing. When you feel like it, when you get a chance, when the opportunity comes, when things get so bad that there isn't anything else to try. No, this is daily. It's daily with God. And I've found that this is what happens in my daily devotions. It's this daily following Jesus, daily denial, daily connecting, a daily time of prayer. When my devotions work, I'm connected to God. There are dry times that we sometimes experience. I mean, we're all that way. We feel like God's up and gone on vacation. He's just not around. You just don't feel anything. And I felt that way. And as a pastor, then I feel guilty because I should be, you know, really connected with God. I should really be right on. The thing I realize in those dry times is usually my time with God has also waned. There's not that vibrancy. Maybe it hasn't been daily because I've been so busy or so many things are going on. And I've found that it's back to that daily time. There's so many distractions. There's never been a day that's been faster or noisier or busier. There was a study of people and their smartphones and how many of them started the day first thing is their smartphone. I mean, I like to brush my teeth pretty soon in the day. You know, morning mouth bothers me. But most people grab their smartphone first. They want to find out what the weather is. That was fun this morning, by the way. I grabbed my phone right away. I want to know what was going on. It was said on the smartphone that it was snowing. I was looking forward to finding out if that was really true or if that was just another crazy weather report that you do get. But sometimes I'll look at the news. Sometimes I'll check Facebook, see what's going on there. And of course, there's the all-important sending of happy birthdays to any number of people. And all this can happen to the extent that it squeezes out our time with God. And so I'm very concerned that we watch out, that the distractions don't take away the primary thing. So how do we do this? How do we connect with God daily? And how do we do it in a way that really works for us? Well, for one thing, it's going to especially happen through Bible study. And there's a blank for you there in your message notes. It's going to happen through Bible study. And you can follow along with me in your message notes. There's several notes there. If you would, turn in your Bible to 2 Timothy chapter 3. And this is the last time we'll turn to another passage. Would you do that? There's 2 Timothy, then Titus, then Philemon, and then the large book of Hebrews. So just before the book of Hebrews is 2 Timothy. And I want you to underline this verse as well. And I believe God will speak to you through this passage if he hasn't already. Just a powerful passage. We've got Paul training Timothy here, as Timothy is taking on the pastorate of the Ephesian church and a lot of other responsibilities as well. And Paul's just kind of pouring into him, teaching him how to follow Jesus. How do you do this? And so in 2 Timothy chapter 3, starting in verse 16, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, in doing the right thing, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. You're probably going to underline this, put a star by this, highlight it in some way. A powerful passage. It says that the scripture is God-breathed. This is from Theopneustos. Theo, which is the word God, we translate it into the word God. Neustos, new, where we get our current word pneumatic. It's air systems that are pushed by air. God and air, God breathed. It's the best translation actually here is that the scripture is God breathed. Now, your translation might have inspired, and that's good also, but I think the New International Version has taken it right to the heart of the matter. Scripture is God-breathed. There's a sense of it being very personal, flowing directly out of God. His word to us. It's not about just some doctrine of the Bible. It's an intimate, personal thing. God speaks to us through Scripture. Now, some would say, well, I don't want God to speak to me that way. I'd rather he speak audibly or in some other clear way. Well, I understand that. I struggled with the Bible a lot when I was a younger Christian. But the fact is, God has chosen to speak to us through a very old document, but he has worked to bring it to us so that we have enough authority to be able to carry on and follow him. And this is very, it's very powerful. So we've got to read the Bible. We've got to study the Bible. And many of you already know this, but this morning as we plow into the new year, we're going to take a second look at whether that's really working for us. How are we doing with that? And what do we need to step up? This is all very important. There was a time, there actually are many times in my life when I've experienced kind of a low self-value, a low self-esteem, a low self-regard. Sometimes I feel like, especially more in my past, that nobody really liked me. I didn't even really like myself. And in one of those times, I'm in my daily time with God, and I happen to be in Romans chapter 5. And Romans 5:8 is a remarkable little verse. But God demonstrated his own love for us in this. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And I looked at this and it just caused a deep, deep sense of God's presence. As I understood that God loved me before I even did anything wrong, and then he loved me while I was doing things wrong, and he keeps on loving me when I do things wrong. And I've just been a person who's just had a sense of right and wrong, and I've always felt bad when I did something wrong. I guess I have kind of a conscience that's always at work. And I always felt guilty and always felt kind of like God just didn't really like me. And as a kid, I was pretty sure I was going to hell when I died. And I read this verse and I saw God's love in a fresh new way that I hadn't seen before. It just brought a tremendous intimacy. And this was just an irregular time with God. And I think we miss out so much when we miss that regular time. And you and I know that there's a lot of people who go to church, who say they are Christians, who don't spend time with God daily. Now, they don't miss certain TV shows, and they don't miss certain events, but they don't spend time with God daily. Of course, I know this group. I know most of you are really pressing in there. But I have people who come and they're counseling. Their marriage is a mess. Their life is hurting. They're not sure what to do next. And you know, in my inner thoughts, I can tell that they haven't spent time with God. And so now they come and hope my time with God will be able to somehow fix their problems. We got to have our own time with God. We've got to have our own well dug deep. We've got to have our own self-feeding. You don't want, as adult, you have other people feed you. And this happens in our daily time, and it makes all the difference. I mean, I don't know where my life would be without my daily time with God, but I wouldn't want to try it. And I'm so grateful for what I have because of that investment over the years, daily time with him. One of the things that I realize, and perhaps this is one of the most important things I'm going to say this morning, other than the authority of the Bible, is that you've got to have a time with God daily that works for you. Not somebody else's time with God, but something that works for you. Something that allows you to worship, to reconnect, to listen, and to respond. When I first became a follower of Jesus, I was taught to spend an hour with God every day. Look, I'm an efficient guy. I can wrap that all up in 10 minutes. And I had no idea what to do with the other 50 minutes except feel guilty. Now, a daily Bible reading plan with Old Testament and New Testament to finish in a year, that'll take you about 20 minutes. And then you can ponder that for about 10 minutes, pray deeply for everybody that you know, and still be done in a half an hour. I just couldn't figure that out. And so I felt like I must be a bad Christian. I felt like I must be far from God. I felt like I must be indisciplined. And I just had a lot of guilt. And what it turned out to be was kind of a legalism. And so on one side, there's a legalism. Okay, I've got my daily time with God. It's legal, I'm an hour, and I got to do this. And then on the other side is giving up. I don't know how to do a daily time with God. I don't know how to do this. I can't spend an hour with God. And you have a lot of people who just kind of give up. Somewhere in the middle, you've got to find a time with God in which you can thrive and flourish and enjoy and really get hold of God and let Him get hold of you. And this is just at the core of it all. Now, one of the things that's really helped me, to give you an example of tailoring the time for yourself, is Gary Thomas's Sacred Pathways. He's given us several spiritual pathways that help us to see that there are different ways to get hold of God, and each of us tend toward some of them, but usually not all. So I've written a few of them here on the slide, and there's a space for you in your message notes to pick a couple that actually fit you. For example, one of them is worship. Many people find that they really connect with God just in worship. And so first thing in the day, they're a music person, they've got their CD on, they've got some kind of iPad thing going. Whatever it is, the music is going, radio is on, and later in the day, music, later still in the day, more music, in the car, music. And they find that they connect with God. On my Pandora, I've got a station that's Toby Mac, and I punch that, and I get to enjoy that connection with God that comes as those different songs come on. And so there's worship. But then some people are more contemplative, and the noise bothers them. And I'm actually more contemplative. And so I connect God better in a place of real quiet. And so one of the things I've been wanting to do was go to the grotto there in Portland and just spend a day in quiet with God. Haven't had a chance to do that yet, but I've been there to see the Christmas lights, but I want to spend time with God there. It just looks like it would be a great place to just be with God and no distractions. Another spiritual pathway is relational. These are the folks who pray best with others and study the Bible best with others. And they thrive in an atmosphere of Starbucks where two or three people do the devotions together. And they just love that and find God in the midst of relationships with others. Then there are the activists. And these are the people who are on the go, confronting the culture, confronting reality, and they're doing it with Jesus Christ, and they find in the midst of that leadership and activism that they have that connection, reconnection with God. There are some people who lean toward the creation pathway. This is one of my pathways. So I'm looking out this morning at the snow and the wonder of every snowflake being different. And I just feel God. I just see God and I just connect with God in that atmosphere. I love to go for a run just to be outside to the trees and the bigness of the sky. And I find God in the midst of that. Other people are more the intellectual pathway. They find God in the study and the thinking and the debate. I remember writing a lengthy paper on prayer when I was at university, and I just found myself so close to God in the midst of those footnotes and the bibliography and the deep thought about the issues involved. Does he answer? How can he answer if he's sovereign and all these different things? And then some people find God more in the serving. They like to be at the pancake breakfast doing the preparation and serving because they find God as they partner with Jesus in giving and caring about people. And so they're at Canby Center and they just love to help people, tutor kids, whatever it is. And then there are those who have the traditional pathway, the symbols of the past and the ritual and the hymns mean so much to them. And they find God in that routine and that structure. And they want it the way it's always been. And they find God that way. Many of you will find one or two or three of those pathways that are especially yours. And this morning, what we want to do is set you free to lean into your pathway and not to worry about not being able to live up to your spouse's pathways and the way they do their time with God. You find a time with God that works for you and utilize your pathway. So if your creation pathway, grab the dog, go for a walk with the dog, and get outside and use that as a real time of prayer. And don't feel guilty about it. Let that be a connection time. And those of you who like worship, worship. And those of you who like quiet, go in another room. And just enjoy the peace. And if you've got kids, you're in trouble, but you just keep doing it. You just keep pressing in. You lean into one or the other of your pathways. But most of us don't have all of them. Of course, we all need to have some time of contemplation, and we all need to worship. But there are going to be some times when we realize that we just need to lean into our pathways and that we're really going to thrive there. And so there's a place in your message note to write the two or three that are especially yours. We've got to find a daily time with God that works for us. And I'm going to give you an example of a way that has worked for me and so many others, and you may have heard about it before, and some of you may have done it before, and it's called the SOAP method. SOAP is an acronym, S-O-A-P, and we're going to go through this for a minute as an example of how to do a daily time with God that's fun and it works. And you can adapt it, you can do different ways, but I'll just give you one example of how to have a daily time with God that works. The first thing you do with SOAP, or actually with any of the different methods, is you ask God to speak to you. And often I say, God, speak to me. And the other times I just assume that he will. But my time with God is not about just study. Are you with me there? It's not just studying the Bible. It's saying, come on, God, meet with me. Talk to me. Give me your thoughts about yourself. Show me more of yourself. Show me more of what you want me to do, how I can live rightly. Reveal yourself. Then comes the S in the acronym, and the S stands for Scripture. We want to study the Bible, and we want to study a portion of it in particular. An example is the study guide that was included in your bulletin this morning. This particular study guide, and notice that I called it study instead of reading guide, because we want to get in there and say, come on, God, speak to me. Show me about yourself. This particular plan is once through the Old Testament and twice through the New Testament in a year. I love it because you get a New Testament reading every day. Some plans start with Genesis and end with Revelation. You're in trouble by Leviticus. Are you with me? Yeah. So this one starts, I believe, with Luke. Yes, it starts with Luke, and that I already knew that. Starts with Luke and goes on through and then starts over again. And this one is somewhat chronological. So it puts some of the prophetic writings in where they happened in history, rather than just leaving them in the order that they are in the Bible. Because you know the Bible's not written chronologically. It's not written in, it's not, the books are not in order by time. They are by and large by subject, but not by time. And so you can read through this, and this is just an example. And so you might choose to just read this year through the New Testament, which is one chapter a day. And if you did that, you could read through the whole Bible twice, the whole New Testament twice this year by following this. And some of us need the discipline of somebody telling us what to do. And so the little piece of paper says, read Luke 3 today. And it's very helpful. Sometimes you might read the New Testament in the morning and then do the Old Testament reading in the afternoon or in the evening before you go to bed. Just whatever works for you. Now, what happens if you miss days? For example, we're already on the third day of the year, so you've already missed 2 days. So you either have to catch up or what? And then when you get into Leviticus or you get busy by mid-January and you already are falling behind a couple of days, what do you do? Well, you can simply pick back up where you left off and not worry about the particular date. And so you might finish the whole Bible in 2 years rather than 1 year. That's fine. We'd like to connect with God daily, but sometimes we have a little more time some days than others. And sometimes we do fall behind. So does that mean give up? No. Let's just keep at it. So just there's a little square where you can check off when you've read for that particular day and just read through the Bible. And some of us, we really need to read through the Bible again or for the first time. And so there's that, or just pick up on the day that you come get back to your daily time. So if you miss 3 or 4 days, just read on the day where you are. And if you have a small group that's following this guide, then you'll be up with them according to what you have read. So this isn't new legalism. It's just a path to get into the Word. And it's fun. It's good. And, whoops, that's okay. There are other ways to do it than this particular one. For example, you can buy a one-year Bible. You can buy a New Living Translation one-year study Bible. There's also a two-year Bible. And so that way you don't even have to have the reading form. You just keep going through the Bible, and it'll take you through in a year. And it's got different readings, and it's got dates for you. Other plans as well. What has been helpful to me more recently is Gateway, BibleGateway.com, which is probably the best resource for your devotions and for Bible study. There are other sites as well. Some people like Blue Letter. I just find that Bible Gateway is easy to use, and the app for that on your smartphone is YouVersion. Very, very helpful. And it has devotional guides right there that will download onto your smartphone, come up every day, or come up in your email, however you set it up. And it's very simple. I commend it to you. And for example, just to give you an idea of the different approaches they have, there's a chronological Bible reading guide that they have for you. As the events occurred in the Bible. Then there's a historical one where it's the order the Bible was written. I have kind of a hard time with that kind, because if you understand that Job is the oldest of the Old Testament writings, that means you start the new year with the book of Job. I would rather start with something other than the book of Job. Thank you very much. So you pick one that works for you. There's a Bible in the 90 days. There's a Gospels in 40 days. There is audio. And let's face it, some of us are not readers, or we don't read very much, or we read the sports page and that's it. And for those of you who are not readers, it's okay. Go ahead and listen to the Word in your car, in your home, wherever. Load it onto your iPod and just make it happen. And so it's there on Bible Gateway. And another thing you can do on Bible Gateway is share your devotions. You invite people into your group and share your devotions with the people in your group. It kind of holds you accountable, and it's fun to see what others are getting out of the Word. And so my son invited me into his devotional group, and I got to see his responses to some of the passages as he moved through his devotions. That is a kick. It was just beautiful. And so there are lots of ways that you can do your devotions. The point is, make sure you have something that works for you. Let me give you an example. We're in S, the acronym S, Scripture, and I'm reading in 2 Timothy chapter 2. And I come across this passage that we looked at. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in right living, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. And I'm gripped by this. I'm gripped because I realize I haven't valued the Bible as much as I would like. I've been using my time with other things. And I sense God speaking to me. I underline it. And I write it down in my journal. And by the way, journaling is a tremendous way to help you with your devotions. Through the years, I've tried different things. I had a devotional thing that I would write in, journal, that was about this size, and it's the same size as my Bible, and it was easy to carry around. As time went on, I decided to go with more of a loose leaf, because then I could insert various pages, even photocopied items, that were value to me. Now I use Bible Gateway, or more, I just use Microsoft Word. I just write it out in my own devotion. It's just a regular document. Whatever you use, just let it be something that's comfortable, something that works for you. So the first thing that I would do in the SOAP method is write out 2 Timothy 3:16. Just write it out. That also cements it in you. Anytime you write, you own it more. Then the second part of SOAP is O, observation. This is where you take a look at the Scripture and you ask some questions about it. What was the original setting? What was going on there? So in this passage, Paul is writing to Timothy and giving him the heart of the matter before he passes away. This is the last writing that we have from Paul. He's giving him the core. He's saying, you've got to value the Bible. It's God's breathed word. And you ask the question, who was speaking? Who was writing? Who were the listeners? Who were the readers? And you try to really get hold of it. Your observation that you would then write down has to do with what you see happening in its context. Then A in the acronym of SOAP, A is for application. And this is where you apply the passage to your life. This is where you ask the question, what am I going to do about it? And this is the part that's so often left out. We read the Bible and leave it there. No, that's not acceptable. We apply it to our lives. And so we write down there, write in our journal, what God is saying to us, what adjustment we need to make in our behavior, what thing we need to do to make this alive in our lives. And so, for example, in this particular passage, it might be that I daily allow God to confront me through the Bible. It's not just Bible study, not just Bible reading, but God confronting me daily through His Word, and that I approach my daily time that way. And then the letter P in the acronym is prayer. And this is where I pray and write out some of my prayer in my journal as well, where I pray the passage or pray and ask God to help me pull this off. In this case, I'd ask God, help me to have a daily time with you that works, that where I'm digging my well deeper, where things are happening between me and Him. And by the way, I've talked about daily. You know, some of us need a lot more than daily, including me. I mean, I see the Muslims praying 5 times a day, 5 set times of prayer a day. Think about that as well. But certainly we need this daily time with God that works. There in your message notes, there's a life application question. What are you going to do as you head into the new year regarding this daily time with God? What's a plan that'll work for you? It might be this daily Bible study guide that I have given you. We're going to have them available in the information center, and they'll just always be there. I have them all over the place in my house, in my office, in my Bibles, just so that wherever I am, in my car, I can do my devotions if that's where I am. I don't want to miss that time. For some of us, it's going to be partnering with people in our life groups. And this is a time to realize that we need to start the year in a group that fits us and a group that will help us with things like this daily encounter. There are brochures all over the place, and especially at the information desk. You can grab one, find out about some of the new groups. James mentioned a few of the new ones. My wife is going to do Hearing God. Karen and Mike are doing Ministry Training Institute. The ladies are doing Women's Connection on Tuesday morning and Wednesday night. 33 on Wednesday night. I'm going to be teaching a class on Foundations for Leadership on Tuesday night for CBC. It's going to be hot. Just a lot of things, but in the midst of it, to be able to find some people who will partner with you in accountability just to help you to make sure you have that daily time with you. I just want to say that I'm not talking about some sort of New Year's resolution that's kind of fallen by the wayside by the end of the month. This is something we're going to do for the rest of our lives, a daily time with God that works. And if you're here this morning and maybe you're not a follower of Jesus yet, you're pondering things, I want to invite you to read the Bible every day. And I do it humbly, but in your reading of the Bible, and you may have a lot of doubts about whether it's from God or not, and why would he speak this way, but I just invite you, read the Bible every day as you journey and see what God will say to you. See what happens. And for those of you who are believers, it's time to make sure you've got that daily time that nourishes you, that nourishes you. I want to invite the worship team to come on forward, and in just a bit, the ministry team members are going to be available to pray with you. If you'd like to say yes to Jesus today, prayer team members are here to pray with you. It's really a serious moment when we decide how we're going to hear from God. He's speaking. We've got to listen. Would you stand with me, please?
Thank you for listening. Please let us know if you have questions or would like us to pray with you. You can contact the church office most weekdays at 503-266-4444 and anytime through canbyfoursquare.com.